Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Chuck and Brandy. You guys there?
Yeah, buddy.
I'm here, Timmy.
Awesome. Today we're going to talk about the St. Francis Dam collapse. The St. Francis Dam was a dam in Los Angeles, California, Brandy, that collapsed in 1928, killing 431 people.
Jeez.
And we're going to talk about this disaster. But before we do, I want to thank our good friend Jason Dykes, who researched this topic and wrote the script, as he often does. He's a contributor to the show, part of the Austin Mafia. Brandy, your thoughts on them?
Well, I love them all.
I know you do.
That's all I got.
Before we get started, I should remind our listeners that, first of all, Happy New Year, and remind everyone that we are an adult podcast. We use adult language. I hesitate to say comedy podcast, Colonel, but we are an adult podcast.
We strive for comedy, Timmy. We strive for comedy.
We fail.
And we often fail badly.
Often we fall on our face. Let's be serious. But we do sometimes use adult language, and I know many of our listeners.
Timmy, we.
Well, not actually you and
really
I,
we,
but one of our other hosts,
right.
Not you or I, sometimes use adult language. Now I would say that it's only Brandy, but sometimes we have someone like Nina on, and she's been known to.
Oh, yeah, she's like a sailor. Like a drunken sailor in a bad mood.
We don't have the most ladylike host on this show, Colonel, if you know what I mean.
Well, we had not Erica Kelly. Scratch her.
We had Karen. Oh, no, not Karen Michelle.
Karen Michelle, no.
Well,
there's somebody out there.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there's someone in our listening audience who is a female and is ladylike. Now, sometimes there's men out there who are ladylike, listen to our program, and we're okay with that, of course.
We're okay.
We all are okay.
Oh, my God.
Come on, come be on the show.
Let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Not good, Timmy. I'm sick.
Colonel, do you ever notice she complains
sick.
A lot?
Oh, my God.
You do complain a lot. I mean, people don't want to hear. I mean, people tune into this show to be perked up, and they get to you. How you doing, Brandy? You're not good.
First
Jimmy.
Of all.
Yeah, Debbie Downer. It's just a whole.
You are always with, well, I'm not good, Timmy. You're always doing that. So I don't want to hear
it. Can you do that again?
I am sick. I am sick. I don't know what's happening. I have been on two different antibiotics for the past month. I can't hear. I'm like Helen Keller. I can't hear. I can't smell. I can't taste. I can't. I mean,
so you,
it's just
you
a bad
have
scene.
None of your senses.
No.
And you've never really had a sense of humor, so you really have no senses.
I,
She's basically senseless, Timmy. It's what I've been saying all along. The woman is senseless.
I'm sorry, Brandy. I hope you're feeling better.
You don't give a damn.
We can't spend a lot of time on your concerns because we haven't talked to the colonel yet.
Okay, but before I do want to say something just really, really quick.
Okay.
If that's okay that I have 30 seconds.
Sure.
Or whatever. So
29 now.
Huh?
28.
See, yeah, exactly. I can't hear you. Quit talking. So recently I did something, and the more I thought about it, the more I feel like I need to shut up. I need to explain. So like the other day I vague booked and I hate when people do that. And I just put something out that just said, hey guys, you know, I'm not feeling myself. I'm not whatever. So I'm stalking, but I'm not really into interacting. And, you know, there's really no good reason, but I hate when people do that when they don't say, hey, you know, they don't have this reason. Like it's like I want the attention. And that's not really what it is. And one of the reasons that I did it was because, we got a lot of new people that are coming in. Am I wrong? We have a lot of new
Facebook
people on the page.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. History Dweebs, the podcast.
Yes.
Facebook group. Yeah.
And, you know, we have this group and they really are just an amazing group of people on our Facebook page. And, we're all a little bit like family. And one of the reasons that I did that, and I appreciate everybody with their messages and things like that, but is to kind of just say, hey, you know, if somebody's out there and they feel, you know, like Chuck has this whole seasonal affective whatever that, you know, he goes through when the weather changes or when it's dismal or whatever. And one of the reasons that
when it's weather is nice.
Or when the weather's nice,
partly
you know,
cloudy.
Whatever. Yeah. But it's but one of the reasons that I did it was to kind of show some of the people that may be new to the little family that we have or whatever that they're not alone if they are feeling that way, that, you know, everybody kind of gets that way and that the page is there if they need to talk or vent or do whatever. So I just wanted to say that, I'm okay. I'm okay. It's just one of those things where it's after the holidays, it's a letdown and I'm not feeling well.
You're just senseless, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, yes, at this point, but you know, I'm not getting ready to fall into a great abyss, I hope, but, you know, just want to let everybody know that they can come to the website or the Facebook page and people are there for them. So,
it's kind of like,
but that's kind of all
like a corner bar used to be. You know, they used to be able to go.
It is a little like a corner bar.
Yeah. Like Cheers.
We're like Cheers.
Everyone knows your name.
Well, I think what she's trying to say is because I think if people listen to this show, Timmy, they could get a misconception that our lives are perfect.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't.
And we're human just like everyone else.
No follow that misconception, girl.
Well, you know, we're human just like everyone else, just like you people out there.
Except don't touch
you
us.
Know, I mean, don't touch us.
Don't message us.
Don't approach
like
us.
That.
Yeah, don't send us, don't talk to us. I mean, keep your distance. Right. But we're normal human. Well, you know, two of us are as normal as you're going to find. Well,
and then there's Timmy.
Well, some of us are.
Well,
well,
I don't know if we're normal,
but your point well taken, Brandy. It is like a corner bar. And you should join us if you haven't done so at History Dweebs, the podcast. And speaking of that, while I'm thinking about it, we had a couple group members who had some losses in their family recently.
We did.
The toe bridges, Diane.
Yes, Diane lost her father, and she is one of the, you know, at DweebCon every year, of course I like seeing Clark, but one of the most pleasant people to talk to every year is Diane.
Although she throws a mean axe, so I'm kind of scared of her now.
Well, but she is.
You know, I think one of these times we're going to have DweebCon 4, 5, 6, whatever, where it just says DweebCon 5, Diane Togebridge lays down the law.
That might be
and
next
just keeps
year.
Everybody yeah. straight in there. Yeah.
I love her. It must suck to be the only adult in the room there.
Really? Yeah, it must really suck. And then Shonda Rush lost a family member this week.
Yes.
Yes, so she did.
Our thoughts to yes. Shonda. And Larry. And, yeah, I know what you mean. That's a great, great page. I've tried to stop posting on that page, though, because I found myself posting a lot, and then I would think, well, who's gonna tell me not to post? You know, like, I mean, like, a, if you're like a real... Yeah.
Who's gonna approve you to, who's well, gonna disapprove some of your goofy ass posts?
Well, I mean, I can approve my own, but you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. When is someone gonna say, hey, dipshit, don't keep posting shit like that, so... I'm trying to self.
Don't worry, I will.
I'm trying to self.
I think Stephen Potts probably would.
Probably, but
hey, who's posting this shit?
It puts him in an uncomfortable position, though. So I'm trying to.
He's in Australia. The whole place is on fire. He couldn't be more uncomfortable.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. First of all, Timmy, don't you have that little voice in your head that says maybe not?
No, not anymore. I used to have it.
He doesn't. He doesn't. He used to have it.
I mentioned this on, I think, somebody's page yesterday. I stopped combing my hair in 1993, and I don't think anyone has noticed. So, you know, like things you do when you get older. Like my dad, when he was driving in his 80s, he just stopped looking in the rear. You know, he just started backing up. He wouldn't even look. Change lanes, wouldn't even look. So I'm like getting to that point where I just do shit without having that inner voice to tell me, you know, this is a dumb idea.
Huh.
I think once you hit 50, Timmy, and I say, because I said this to the boys when they were home, and I say it often, once you hit 50, it's like, you think I give a fuck?
Right. I mean, it's like.
You think societal norms no longer apply to you.
Dude, I would.
Like, and I'm like you, Timmy. I can't tell you the last time I combed my damn hair.
Let's.
I just get out of the shower in the morning. However it falls, it falls.
Well, you know, it's starting to. I mean, I know it's a shock to you. But I'm starting to do that with my, you know, overall appearance, like my clothes and, you know, shaving like half the time. I know. Insert joke. Let me introduce
We've
a man.
All noticed.
Let me introduce a man who is, you know, in these troubled times, Randy. It's been a very scary week with a lot of things happening.
Oh,
in the
Jesus.
World. But we have a man God. That we can turn to in times like this. A
See,
man
Jesus.
Who is not, well, practically.
God, no, Jesus, it's not.
Jesus' his own representative on earth, a man
nope,
who is
no.
known as the, an oasis in the desert of despair, the very honorable, very popular author now, Brandy, a best-selling author, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I couldn't be better,
well,
Timmy.
Glad, Colonel,
couldn't be better.
You are the yin to Brandy's yang.
Negative yang, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I just couldn't be better. I got the boys are all home. They were here for a couple weeks, and they're all home. So that was a lovely visit. And we, you know, do not exchange Christmas gifts.
Did
so
you have
that
the
makes it even nicer.
The grievances.
We did have the airing of the grievances, and it took a little longer this year than it normally does.
I bet it did.
Taylor had a lot of grievances, and I had something really funny happen the other night. I have my little three-year-old nephew, Jackson, and he was talking to Tanner, and Jackson's just really, he's like Noah, you know, he's just a You talk to him and you forget that he's 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You sometimes think you're talking to an adult. And he said, where do you live, Tanner? And Tanner said, well, I live in California. And he said, well, you don't live in America then. And Tanner said, son, I think you've been listening to Glenn Beck too much. and he didn't really get who Glenn Beck was, but he wanted all the little commie bastards out of America. He wanted So that was enjoyable. And of course I have, you know, every day is an adventure with Rudy and Bo, and I told you Rudy's starting to be the night watchman. I had a came in yesterday, Timmy, the football games were on. I made myself a sandwich, came in, put it on the end table because I was going to watch it, went in to get myself a drink. Bo climbs his little paws up on the table to try to reach it. And what do I hear, Timmy? a big ferocious barking from Rudy.
So he saved your sandwich.
He's snitching on Bo. He's starting to be the guard of Bo.
Someone has to.
Yeah, but you know what? One more thing I had to say, because we did have an episode that we recorded after Christmas that got messed up by somebody who will remain unnamed. So I did want to say that I appreciate all the people that sent me Christmas cards that were addressed to Noah. He got such a kick out of that. And it made him happy. It brought a smile to his face. So just want to let everybody know that I appreciated that.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk about...
Because you screwed that up.
You gave these people your address?
Yeah, I don't care. They'll never find me.
I don't want the listeners to take that negatively, but Timmy, would you give them your address?
They'll never find me. I'm well hidden.
Just a reminder, if we will have DweebCon again this year, I believe it's the first weekend of October here in Cincinnati. So if you're interested in that, just join our Facebook group and learn more. But we do have one rule, is that
don't be a dick.
You come to DweebCon, you cannot touch us. Well, especially me and Charles. We do not like to be touched.
Right. Unless you're a female and you can hug me a little too tight. A little too long, a little too tight. Rub your breasts against me if you like.
Stop it.
I mean, that's...
Stop it.
I don't mind that part.
I think we should move on.
I mean, it happens at DweebCon.
Let's talk about this St. Francis Dam disaster, shall we, Brandon?
Breastises. Yes, I'd love to.
You know, don't you think dams, Timmy, just are made for disasters?
They really are, especially...
Because...
I mean, especially this thing. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, you build a dam 40 miles from a major city. Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
Well, and typically, who builds dams, Timmy?
Beavers.
And generally, if you're dependent on a beaver, well, things are going to go bad for you, Timmy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. I'm just saying, beavers never could. Generally, no good
beavers
comes from a beaver.
Beavers never prosper,
that's all
Brandy.
I'm saying. Beavers don't prosper.
Well, that's
beavers get stitches.
The St. Francis Dam was built to store water for the city of Los Angeles. It was located 40 miles northwest of the city. The dam was built between 1924 and 1926. And on March the 12th, 1928, so it wasn't up and running very long, the dam failed, and the resulting flood killed 431 people. Man, they probably thought, where did this fucking water come from in Los Angeles, Southern California? And
yeah, but if you're in Los Angeles and can't swim, shit. I mean, you almost got it coming.
Well, this was the second greatest incident of loss of life in California history so far. Stay tuned. First being...
Till it falls into the ocean.
First being the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. In 1902, the city of Los Angeles established the Bureau of Waterworks with self-taught engineer William Mulholland.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, you get a self-taught engineer. That's...
It's kind of like getting your appendix out by a self-taught doctor, Timmy. It's what could go wrong.
Hey, but right now, if you can get it on YouTube, I think I could do it.
Boy, you're not kidding. Like every problem you can possibly conceive, you can Google on YouTube and you can watch. I mean, it's great. Like I had to my phone. It was doing real weird shit. I mean, it was like flashing different colors and stuff. And I looked it up on YouTube and. 2 seconds, I had it working. Thank you.
I can give
selfishly.
I can get rid of cysts. I can clean out ears. I can clean out sinus passages. I can do all kinds of stuff because I watched it on YouTube.
Well, you probably could have been a City of Los Angeles engineer because Mulholland was self-taught.
But you know what she couldn't be, Timmy? You know what she couldn't be? The manager of Stonehenge.
I did send your resume to them, Brandy, and they said you suck. So
I, That didn't happen.
Mulholland achieved great recognition among members of the engineering community for supervising the design and construction of the Los Angeles Aqueduct. Isn't that Los Angeles? Don't they have a river? It's like the most sorry river you ever seen. It's such like, I think it, remember?
Yeah, it's pretty pitiful. Yeah. It's basically a creek.
Which at the time, the Los Angeles Aqueduct was the longest one in the world and used gravity alone to bring 233 miles, bring water 233 miles to the Owens Valley in Los Angeles.
From the Owens Valley.
From Owens Valley to Los Angeles. So, you know, it's always been a problem, right, in Southern California is getting the water down to the populated areas. It was.
Right. I never got that, Timmy. They live right next to the Pacific Ocean.
It's fresh.
Why they got a shortage of water, Timmy?
I'm pretty sure.
Can't you just boil it for a little while?
Mulholland is self-taught. Because of his design, he achieved accolades from the engineering community. I'm sure that was pretty short-lived, Brandy, after the thing.
Right.
Short-lived accolades.
I think they took him back.
It was during the process of building the Los Angeles Aqueduct that Mulholland first considered sections of the San Francisco Canyon as a potential dam site. He felt there would be a reservoir of sufficient size to provide water for the city of Los Angeles and an extended period in the event of a drought or if the aqueduct was damaged by an earthquake, because, you know, they were on that whole San Andreas fault thing. A reservoir of water was also needed for Los Angeles's rapidly growing population. In 1900, the population was slightly over 100,000 in Los Angeles, and it was, by 1910, it was 320,000, and by 1920, just 20 years later, from the population of 100,000, they were already up to over 500,000 citizens. This unexpectedly rapid growth brought a demand for a larger water supply. Between 1920 and 1926, 7 smaller reservoirs were built, but the need for a still larger one was clear. And although the San Francisco Canyon site had some problems, most notably was an inactive fault line running through it. Yeah, that's a problem. Mulholland recommended this site after it became financially impossible to purchase land north of what is now Sunland in the San Fernando Valley. So he built this thing on a fault.
On a fault line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's self-taught.
That sounds like a faulty design to me, Timmy.
And is that? It's not San Francisco. It's San Francisco.
It's San Francisco.
San Francisco.
I apologize to all of us.
San Francisco,
California.
I've been there.
Of course, you have.
Now, however, Mulholland had very little experience in concrete dam designs or construction. He is self-taught, as Brandy mentioned. Prior to the design and construction of the St. Francis Dam, he had only participated in the design of one other concrete gravity dam, the Mulholland Dam, named in his honor, Brandy. Have you ever had a dam named after you?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you. Have you ever had a major man-made structure named after you?
Well, Timmy, let me answer that for you.
Okay, mm-hmm. Colonel.
I believe that they may have named the Hoover Dam after her because she sucks.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh,
ooh,
my
Timmy,
God.
If I was there with you, we'd high-five each other,
Brandy,
right now.
What you don't know, I didn't want to say this because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. When I was over in England.
And here we go. Go ahead.
I turned in your resume to the...
that's what you said, and they said that I suck. But
let me tell the story. Were you there? Let me tell a story.
You just said it. You just said it a minute ago.
So I turned your resume.
Do you not remember what you just said?
I turned your resume into the Stonehenge people, the Stonehenge the Stonehenge Authority, the SHA, and I turned your resume into them, and they looked at it, took one look at it, threw it back across the desk, and said, "She sucks." But they said if you, Tim Scott, or the colonel would be interested in the job, they would name Stonehenge in our honor. So you could have Colonel Stonehenge, the Colonel Hinge.
Colonel Hinge.
Or the Tim
Colonel Hinge. Or Baron Hinge.
But they said.
Baron Von Scott Hinge.
They said that Brandy sucked. So anyway, sorry, Brandy.
Yeah.
That's an amazing, amazing, stupid story.
You need to learn to take constructive criticism a little bit better.
I'm a self-taught engineer, so construction's my thing.
We're trying to help you self-actualize, devil. That's what you never appreciate about us.
Well, I mean, she's kind of low on the pyramid, if you know what I mean. I don't even think Maslow had a level that low. Did he have a sub-level to his pyramid?
I don't believe he did, Timmy. I think that she's someone. But I don't know why the hostility, and you
it's a mystery.
Shoot this hostility toward us when all we're trying to do is get you to climb that pyramid.
I mean, we'd like to at least get you and to get you basic needs, you know?
First of all,
yeah, right.
Look, if I reach a point in my life where I need any kind of help from you two. If I need any kind of help from you two, you know, an agoraphobic and the other guy that just kind of, you know, shows up whenever he wants, just kind of lollygags around through life. If I need help from either one of the two of you.
Brandy, we stopped combing our hair years ago.
I know. So, you know, forgive me if I don't hop right on that. But please tell me more about this dam this self-taught engineer.
Well, the Mulholland Dam was named in the honor of this guy, and
of course it was,
and which is a curved concrete gravity dam. Now, Jason left a technical note here to say a gravity dam is what most of us think of when we think of a dam, a giant concrete wall holding back water. So, thank you for that clarification there. Jason. Well,
there are other kinds of dams. There's embankment dams and buttresses, and there's a bunch of other ones.
Butter dam.
There's other dams.
Now, that's butter dam, said. How long is a butter dam going to hold up?
Not very long.
There's goddamn dams.
Yeah.
That's what they called this one after it flooded down.
Oh, and I was giving credit. I was giving away. Brandy some credit for her dam knowledge, and I see that he has it written here. Embankment and buttresses. Yeah.
Good job. Good job, Timmy.
The process of surveying the area and determining the location of the St. Francis Dam began in December of 1922. Construction of the dam began in August of 1924. The original plans called for the dam to reach a height of 185 feet. After construction began, the height of the dam was raised by 20 feet in order to provide additional reservoir storage needed to sustain the growing community. So this project kept growing. Although these modifications increased the dam's height by 22 feet, no changes were made at its base width. So again, self-taught engineer here.
Right.
As a result, the safety margin for structural stability decreased significantly. And Colonel, would you like to explain structural stability to our listening audience?
Oh, I'm dying to know.
Well, structural stability really depends on if you see
another self-taught boxes engineer. And,
well, no, here's where they went wrong is that they subcontracted this out to the Acme Dam Building Company.
And Wile E. Coyote, their president?
Well, that's what it sounds like. Well, bulldozers with Acme on it and,
yeah,
you know, things like that.
It's but happened around the time. Didn't we do that? Didn't we do an episode on the Rainmaker? Wasn't that around this time, like when this happened? Yeah.
It was. So he might have sabotaged his dam.
Water began to fill the reservoir on March the 12th, 1926. Of course, Brandy was a child then. It rose.
Well, it wasn't.
It rose.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So Mulholland's team actually knew that this was a problem, that they didn't increase the width. They only increased the height.
Yeah.
But they had to stay on budget. Some analysis. Then they had to stay on budget, and it was too costly to include the width and to, you know, compensate
because
for
width
how
is
high
very
this thing
important,
was.
Brandy. I think that's
width is generally more important than height.
Yes,
I've heard. I mean, if you survey female listeners, they would tell you width was more. Yeah.
Anyway,
I meant to ask you, Devil, how is this this super bug that you got affecting your sex life?
Why would you mean to ask me that? Why would you ask me that at all?
What's the list of questions he had down there?
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, no, our listeners want to know. Our listeners care about you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well,
they care about how it impacts every facet of your life. So
no, they don't.
Would you like to comment?
I would not.
Because you said you kind of vague posted. You vague posted a little bit. And some of our listeners were thinking, well, the devil's not getting satisfied.
No, none of them thought that.
She's just.
None of them thought that.
Did you think that, Colonel?
Well, you two are 12 years old.
It popped into my head.
You two are 12. So please tell me what happened on March 12th of 1926.
I just thought maybe.
Well, the water began
that
to
poor
fill
girl's
in the reservoir,
so sick.
Brandy.
And yeah, shut up, Chuck.
It rose steadily and rather uneventfully, actually. It was kind of a boring feel of the reservoir. You know, sit around, watch water fill in.
Right.
Although several temperatures and contraction cracks did appear, the most notable
That incident, is a problem.
Well, you know, the most notable incidents were two vertical cracks that ran through the dam from the top. Mulholland, along with his assistant chief engineer, I wonder if he was self-taught.
He's a cobbler.
And general manager Harvey Van Norman. Harvey.
Cobbler.
Inspected the cracks and the leaks and judged them to be within expectation for a concrete dam the size of St. Francis.
Did they just put gum on it and hope for the best?
Yeah, or some like super glue or something.
What could go wrong?
Some of that flex foam. Yes.
I think they took every precaution, sounds like to me.
Yeah, sounds like they're on top of it.
Please continue talk amongst yourself while I turn the page. Because dexterity is a problem after you get a certain age. Oh, it's Brandy's turn. I'm sorry. Brandy.
It's okay.
Tell us what happens next.
Yes. Thank you. In April of 1927, the reservoir level was brought within 10 feet of the spillway. So basically, it was 10 feet from the top of the dam. And during most of May, the water level was within 3 feet of the spillway. That's a problem. The dam proved its usefulness in the summer of 1927 when the Los Angeles Aqueduct was damaged by farmers in the ongoing water war. So,
you know what they need? They need to.
Yeah. Well, all I see is. Yes, it would.
It would.
Well, but don't you.
They needed a Tervis cup.
But don't you, when there's an ongoing.
They need to build it like a Tervis.
When there's an ongoing water war with farmers, don't you see a bunch of farmers running around with squirt guns and shit and water balloons? That's what I see.
Pitchforks?
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah. And nothing would take care of that like a super soaker. All right. In a single 30-day period during that summer, 8,000 acre feet of water was withdrawn from the reservoir for the city of Los Angeles. Late in 1927, a fracture was noticed. As with the others, Mulholland inspected it, stuck gum on it, judged it to be another contraction crack, and ordered it filled with oakum and grouted filled with oakum and grouted to seal off any seepage. Seepage is a bitch, isn't it, Timmy? Yes. At the same time, another fracture appeared on the eastern portion of the dam, running downward at an angle for 65 feet. Yeah, they need some flex.
That's a big crack.
They need some flex steel in there.
That's a big crack.
Well, he was self-taught. Give him a break.
Yes, I know. Well, you know, he's clearly ready for any sort of, you know, contingency.
Now, you know, they used to use oakum when ships between the planks.
Right.
It's a rope. Oakum is a rope.
Well.
And they used to use it on ships.
That's for.
To hook it to the dock?
No. It's on the rope. It's to keep rats from climbing on the rope and going onto the ships.
Gross.
I know.
Let's see. The reservoir continued to rise steadily until early February of 1928, when the water level was brought within 1 foot of the spillway. During this time, several new cracks appeared.
That's kind of like when your bathtub fills up all the way to the top, and you think what.
You're about to sit in it?
Yeah, and you think, should I really sit in it, or should I really, you know, drain it some first? And then you sit in it,
well,
and then people down, you know, in this apartment downstairs, they landlord it.
I've taken, I think, maybe one bath in the last two or 3 years. I'm just too antsy to sit in a bathtub. I just can't.
Well, and you know what? You're probably doing all sorts of, you're probably multitasking when you're in the shower, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well,
taking
and
calls from your agents.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot, and I can put them on speaker and put them, but it's hard to get to the, when you're underwater, it's hard to really get the nether parts clean. Don't you think, Timmy?
Well,
and underwater.
Know, I think maybe Michelle Johns posted something on a page about how often and how women clean their vaginas. If you're curious about that sort of thing, join our Facebook group because there's a whole post on the art of cleaning vaginas and
vagina hygiene.
Yeah.
And it's helpful because that's how you prevent the decaying vagina.
Exactly. Just a public service.
It's running rampant, Timmy.
Yeah, perfect. All right.
Keep your vaginas clean. That's the motto of this show.
Please, ladies, keep the vaginas clean. You don't ask for that much out of a woman. You know, I mean, really.
I mean, how much can you
cook a little bit?
Family?
You know, clean the house. You know,
oh,
have some makeup on, nice clothes on when you get home.
Ball sweat.
Two words.
Ball sweat
keep
is
your vagina
nasty.
Clean.
It stinks. It's gross. Y'all take care of your own shit and let us worry about ours. We got it.
Well,
we're self-cleaning.
See, here's the thing.
That it's a self-cleaning oven, and it's not, Brandy.
Oh, it is.
It's not.
It is. We are self-cleaning. You all have to put in effort. Scrub your junk. Keep it manscaped. Take care of your shit. We'll take care of ours. Don't you worry about that.
Keep it manscaped. See, I'm not putting anything sharp down there.
Well,
nothing sharp.
Brandy, we've done told you we we stopped combing our hair in 1993.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah,
you think I'm going to be trimming that up? It's like the rainforest down there. There's probably a cure to cancer somewhere.
Because here's the thing. You know, the hair in your ears, you know, grows faster as you get older. I can't even imagine what the two of you have going.
Continue with the story. So, this is ridiculous.
You two are ridiculous. All right. So
try to stay on task, could you, Devil?
Near the end of February, a notable leak began and was discharging about 4.5 gallons per second. That is a notable leak. Oh, here we go. So Mulholland went.
The dam was a squirter.
Yeah. So Mulholland wandered over, judged it to be another contraction or temperature crack, and went ahead and left it open to drain. Because that's what you do.
Well, eventually. This thing had more cracks. Out.
Yeah.
Right.
This thing had more cracks than a French whorehouse, Timmy.
Good one, Kirby.
Lovely. During the first week. Easy there, Ed McMahon. All right. During the first week of March, it was noticed that the leak had approximately doubled. So Mulholland.
Our next episode, we should have talk in third person. Like 10 weeks, we should have a talk in third person episode. What's your
Brandy
thoughts
does
on
not think well, so. Brandy does
the
not.
The Colonel
think so.
Thinks that's a wonderful idea.
Brandy does not.
The Colonel is on board with that.
Brandy's against it.
Colonel and I will do it, Brandy. Colonel Tim will do that.
That's fine. Mulholland, so the cracks doubled, so it's, you know, just spraying water everywhere.
Nine. 4.5 times 2 is 9, so it's 9 gallons per second.
Thank you.
I know math is hard for you.
I don't understand. Go ahead. I wasn't trying to do math. Right. Self-taught. So Mulholland ordered an 8-inch concrete drain pipe to be installed.
8-incher.
Yeah.
An 8-incher.
Yeah.
Wonder how thick it was.
Still wouldn't be on enough. March, still fucking complain a bit.
You know what? Because
it didn't work.
Even if it's...
Because it didn't work.
See, you get 8 inches. Even if you're banging the ceiling, Timmy, they don't care because, you know, it's like, well, you're not putting cracks in the walls.
Always the Colonel
has never had that problem, but
Brandy thinks you both should shut the fuck up and let's get, I'm dying to know what happens here. So on March 7th.
Okay.
1928.
Well, you know.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Can I just interject something?
Okay.
See, the Colonel.
Brandy doesn't give a shit
Timmy
what you have to say, though.
Know what happens, because we've read the goddamn script. The Colonel's read it.
Colonel has not
read
it.
We know how this turns out. It's not a happy ending.
Well, I mean, I got that from the first
you
paragraph.
Read it. Had you read it, just taken, this is 7 pages, and I know, you know, you're not the fastest reader in the world.
Brandy thinks.
But still,
Brandy
it only takes you 30 minutes.
Brandy thinks. Brandy
These
also
people,
thinks
all they
that I'd like to
ask,
that Brandy also thinks that she would like to know how far the reservoir was to the spillway. Brandy wants to know a lot of things here, and if you would shut your cock holster, we could get through this and move on. So
I'm just
on
saying,
March 7th,
why don't you appreciate our listeners?
The reservoir was 3 inches below the spillway, and Mulholland ordered that no more water be turned into the St. Francis. On the morning of March 12th, while conducting his usual inspection of the dam keeper, Tony Hirschenferger, that seems the right pronunciation, discovered
Harnischberger, Devil.
Harnischberger. That's what I said.
Didn't you watch the YouTube video?
What?
No. The Colonel watched the YouTube video about this.
Ugh.
So I'd be prepared.
Okay. So this guy discovered a new leak, and he was concerned for two reasons. Only two. First, because other leaks had appeared in this same area in the past. And secondly, the muddy color of the runoff he observed could indicate that the water was eroding the foundation of the dam. He immediately alerted Mulholland, who then wandered over with his assistant engineer, Harvey, and began inspecting the area of the leak. Harvey found the source and, by following the runoff, determined that the muddy appearance of the water was not from the leak itself, but came from where the water contacted loose soil. I'm sorry, contacted loose soil from a newly cut access road. Oh, here we go. The leak was discharging 22 gallons per second. Mulholland.
That's a squirter right there.
Yeah. Mulholland felt that some corrective measures were needed, but this could be done at some point in the future. So nothing to see here.
Well, I'm guessing that he's,
nothing to see
I'm
here.
I'm guessing he's had his last major structure named after him.
Well, no, he had a
well,
road.
Well, the colonel believes that he was just not taking this seriously, that he was just overlooking obvious problems.
They changed the name you of think? The city he of was Los just Angeles lax. To Mulholland Marshland. Mulholland
well,
Creek.
Well, they got, you know, I'd be afraid to drive on Mulholland Drive. I wonder if he designed that too.
Probably. It's twisted. It's a weird road. I've been there. For the next 2 hours, Mulholland and his henchman, Harvey.
Colonel, do you ever notice how every time we mention some city or place, she's been there? You ever notice that, Colonel?
She's been there, yeah. Yeah, I don't believe she's been there.
I have actually been on Mulholland Drive.
She's been
Drive.
All those places. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The colonel doesn't believe you, but go ahead.
Well, Brandy doesn't give a shit. So they went around and they were looking at all the dam's various leaks and seepages. Jesus.
Seepage
finding
is
nothing
a
out
problem.
Of the. It is. Finding nothing out of the ordinary or of concern for a large dam. So really nothing to see here. They were convinced that the new leak was not dangerous and the dam was safe. And they went ahead and just went back to Los Angeles. 12 hours after they left.
Oh, hold on. Let me stop you real quick here, Devil.
What?
That word you're going to run into after dam is catastrophically.
Oh.
Catastrophically.
Brandy thinks that you're a dick and should shut the fuck up. I got
it. It's a long one, and the colonel knows you sometimes struggle.
I don't.
So just go ahead.
12 hours after they left, at 11:57 p.m. on March 12, 1928, the St. Francis Dam catastrophically failed.
Oh, you nailed it, Devil. See, you nailed it. Just
said,
take some help.
Mulholland said, well, that was a structural break, and it's okay. It's
probably
to be
said,
expected.
No worries. Don't worry. Nothing
I think
to
he
see
said,
here.
We're going to need more oakum, is what he said.
Probably.
We're going to need more oakum.
There were no surviving eyewitnesses to the collapse, but at least 5 people passed the dam within the hour prior to its collapse without noticing anything unusual. The last, Ace Hopewell, rode his motorcycle, because of course he did.
Well, of course he had a motorcycle.
Of course
yeah.
he did. No helmet. He rode it past the dam about 10 minutes before midnight. He testified at the coroner's inquest that he had passed powerhouse number 2 without seeing anything there or that the dam had caused him any concern.
Well, I think that was the problem. It was nothing in this whole dam
has caused anybody
caused
concern.
Anybody any concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
He went on to state that at approximately 1.5 miles upstream, he heard above the roar of his motorcycle a rumbling, much like the sound of rocks rolling on the hill. He stopped and got off and left the engine idling. He smoked a cigarette. Hold on. Excuse me.
You okay there, Doc Holliday?
No, I Damn. Sound like a lunger. I sound terrible. Smoked a cigarette while checking the hillside above him. The rumble that had caught his attention earlier had begun to fade behind him. And assuming that it might have been a landslide, as those were common in the area, he was satisfied he was in no danger, and he continued on his way. At the Bureau of Power and Light's receiving station in Los Angeles, BPL, whatever, in Los Angeles, and the Water Works and Supply at Powerhouse Number 1, there was a sharp voltage drop at 11:57:30 p.m., simultaneously a transformer at Southern California.
The excellent research that Jason does with it. He gave us the precise time that this thing happened.
Yes, he did. Simultaneously, a transformer at Southern California Edison substation exploded. Seconds after it began, little of what had been the dam remained standing, other than the center section and the wing wall. So it wasn't a total loss. The main dam broke into several large pieces and numerous smaller pieces. All of these were washed downstream as 12.4 billion gallons of water began surging down San Francisco Canyon. The largest piece weighed approximately 10,000 tons and was found about 3/4 of a mile below the dam site.
I bet those farmers just start bitching too. Like they wanted water and fought over water, and now they had all the water they could handle, and I bet they complained about it.
And they're still not happy. Yeah.
Well, the dam keeper and his family were most likely the first casualties caught in the initial 140-foot high flood wave.
That is
which
one
swept
of
over
the risk of being a dam keeper.
Ooh. It is. Which,
cowabunga.
Which swept over
their
cottage.
You know, there's surfers that were like, oh, goddamn, I wish I was there.
Probably. Which swept over their cottage approximately 1/4 of a mile downstream from the dam.
That poor guy was
the body of a
work
woman,
his way up to Stonehenge manager. And look what happened.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, how'd you like to be the dam keeper, Timmy? And you got some candles lit, you know, you brought some flowers home from work and
about to show your wife.
It's gonna be, you know,
8-inch pipe.
Right. About to give 8 inches of concrete, which I think I brought up on a previous episode. That was my nickname in high school. But and then all of a sudden you're just being washed away downstream.
And you know,
yeah, perfect.
Just washed away.
It's an amazing.
That's when you say
finger at you. Did, you know?
They are, and you know, and even then, if you ask a woman, baby, did I make the earth move for you? You know, she's not going to be satisfied with you.
That's a good point, Brandy. Makes a good point.
Brandy, I mean,
is
it's
ready
just
to move
it's
on.
The colonel knows women. Sometimes there are some women that are just never happy. Not all women, but some. And I bet she was one of those ones that were not happy.
The body of a woman who lived
I
with
bet
the family.
She was happy.
Was found fully clothed and wedged between 2 blocks of concrete near the base of the dam. This led to the suggestion that she and the dam keeper may have been inspecting the structure immediately before its failure. Neither the dam keeper, Tony, or his 6-year-old son, Cotter's bodies were ever found. 5 minutes after the collapse, the then 120-foot-high flood wave had traveled 1.5 miles at an average speed of 18 miles an hour.
So, how do
destroying
we know,
the heavy
how
concrete,
do we know that the dam inspector didn't run away with the dam keeper's wife?
Right.
We don't know. Their bodies were never found. They may be, you know, they may be living high on the hog in Tijuana.
No. His 6-year-old son's body was never found.
Oh, but they found dam keeper.
They found
well,
mom.
Well, no, they never found Tony.
They never found Tony.
Never found Tony.
Let's see. Right. So, let's see. It was going 18 miles an hour, destroying the heavy concrete powerhouse number 2 and taking the lives of 64 of the 67 workmen and their families who lived nearby. This cut power to much of Los Angeles and the San Fernando Valley. Power was quickly restored via tie lines with Southern California Edison Company, but as the floodwater entered the Santa Clara riverbed, it overflowed the river's banks, flooding parts of the present-day Valencia and Newall.
Have you been Charles. There, Brandy?
You know,
I have not.
Yeah, I guess you've been there, Brandy. That's where Valencia apples come from.
Oranges.
If you didn't know that. No, there's Valencia apples, too.
Uh-huh.
So,
Valencia, Florida.
They do. Yeah. Try to learn your fruits, devil.
I podcast with two of them. Can we please
get this moving? The colonel knows his agriculture.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
you do know bullshit.
There's one of the things that strikes me about this is it was only moving at 18 miles an hour. I mean, most, you know, a running back in NFL runs 20 to 22 miles an hour. Timmy, I believe me and you, Colonel and Timmy could have outrun that thing.
I have a question about that, but certainly the guy.
Timmy would have had to lift his feet to run. And as we know, Colonel.
Oh, Ace was fine, yeah.
Ace.
Well, let me tell you what happens here later in the night. Now, about 12:40, SoCal, or as Southern California, as I like to call it, SoCal.
Uh-huh.
Edison's two main lines into the city were destroyed by the flooding, re-darkening the areas that had earlier lost power. Now, this spread to outrage all over.
Outage.
No, it spread outrage too, Devil.
I'm sure it did.
Not just the outage, but outrage.
I'm sure.
There was outrage over the outage.
You were worried about me reading catastrophically and you fucked up outage, but go ahead. Brandy finds that hilarious.
Near 1 a.m., apparently they brought in a priest because there was a mass for the water, Devil. So, the mass of water,
late.
Then 55-foot high, yeah, followed Santa Clara Riverbed West and demolished Edison's Saugus substation. Now, that cut power, if you know the grid down there.
As you
that
do.
That will cut power to the entire Santa Clara River Valley. And parts of Ventura and Oxnard. Now, the town of Castaic Junction, that was just completely washed away. And luckily, Petticoat Junction was spared.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good.
See that, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the flood entered Santa Clarita at 12 miles per hour. Approximately 5 miles downstream near the Ventura, Los Angeles County line. A temporary construction camp the Edison Company had set up for its 150-man crew on the flats of the riverbank was hit. Now, in the confusion, Edison personnel had been unable to issue a warning, and 84 workers perished there. So, let's see, they had 150, so about half of them got wiped out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, the flood heavily damaged the towns of Fillmore, Barsdale, Santa Paula, before emptying both victims and debris into the Pacific Ocean about 54 miles downstream south of Ventura around 5:30.
And there, Brandon?
Where?
No.
Ventura Highway in the springtime. It is.
Probably.
That's an America song. Because have you ever been through the desert on a horse with no name?
Brandy has.
To be out of the rain in the desert.
Oh,
there was no desert here because it was all flooded.
Right.
So at which point the wave, which was almost 2 miles wide and still traveling at 6 miles an hour. See, you can outwalk that son of a bitch. I don't feel any sorry for any of these victims now. 6 miles an hour, and you can't outrun the wave.
It's like walking
Screw
in front
you.
Of it. You're like crossing up. Like,
yeah,
me.
I mean, you just, yeah.
You're
looking behind your shoulder,
walk,
seeing if it's catching up to you. Yeah. Now, bodies were recovered as far south as the Mexican border.
Jesus.
Now, maybe they were just trying to.
Had nothing
maybe
to do
they were
with
just
the flood.
Trying to see. Exactly. Now, had we had a wall, it would have just diverted the water right into the Pacific Ocean, into Tijuana. And we wouldn't have to live with the scourge that is Tijuana today.
Had a lot of fun in Tijuana. So, be nice.
Timmy, well, Timmy's picture is up in certain places in Tijuana.
Timmy knows the PECA inspector.
That's right.
Now, bodies continued to be found into the 1950s. One was found as late as 1994.
Jesus.
1,200 houses and 10 bridges had been completely washed out. That's a lot of bridges. That's my worst nightmare, is being on a bridge that collapses.
We need to do a story on Beaver Creek. Was that in West Virginia where the bridge wiped out?
Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Beaver Creek. See, nothing beaver. Nothing beaver related is ever good to me. Now, this dam would have been better had they just chopped down like a million trees and released about 3,000 beavers there.
Well, yeah.
Or they just bought.
But, you know, this guy was self-taught. This guy was self-taught. I mean, come on. Give him a break.
Yeah.
Aquafina.
Well, newspapers across
the
country.
That's what I say. Aquafina, Brandy.
All right.
Yeah. Newspapers across the country carried accounts of the disaster. The front page of the L.A. Times ran four stories, including areola photos, and they got in a lot of trouble for that. And they showed pictures of the collapsed dam, too. And in the city of Santa Paula, a flood relief fund was set up to receive donations.
That means when that people give money to help other people burn.
Yeah. It was like before GoFundMe. Exactly. They had to do that. And it was probably some kind of huckster that, you know, kept all the money and didn't give it to anybody.
Exactly.
But, you know, tragedies are always great for that. You can make a lot of money on tragedies. In a statement, Mulholland said, well, I would not venture at this time to express a positive opinion as to the cause of this St. Francis Dam disaster.
No, don't name this.
Mr. Van Norman and
me.
I.
Right.
Don't blame me. Don't look at me. Now, Mr. Van Norman and I arrived at the scene of the break around 2:30 this morning. We saw once the dam was completely out and the torrential flood of water from the reservoir had left an appalling record of death and destruction in the valley below.
Record of death and destruction.
Appalling.
Yes.
It was noted that no tremors had been reported at seismograph stations, ruling out an earthquake as a cause of the break. Now, in the aftermath of this failure, Mulholland took full responsibility for the accident during a hearing, stating, strangely, don't blame anyone else. You know, you can just fasten it on me.
I'm self-taught.
He throws this in.
Hey, you know, he didn't have to do that. He could have been like, I don't know what the fuck happened. But he did.
Well, but
good
no,
for
he likes he guy. Likes to qualify it here. If there was in fact a human error, I was the human. So what he's saying is, I don't really believe it was human error, but let's just,
that's,
you know,
not
he was
what he says
as he said this.
But this last
if
little,
there was a human error,
yeah,
I was a human.
But the finish that quote, that bothers me. Go ahead.
And he said he only envied those who were killed.
You know, nothing stopped him from jumping off that, wherever he was
Mulholland,
looking at it and going.
Off the deck.
He's got an aqueduct named after him. What do you expect him to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, plus the dam's only like 3 foot tall at this point. So,
I mean,
it's just like a kiddie pool now.
You know, they can replace other people, but they can't replace Mulholland. Come on, Brandy.
Well, he's self-taught.
No.
He is self-taught.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody else is self-taught, just him.
He's going to build the freeway system after this. So
I think he came up and built it in Cincinnati.
He needs to
yeah.
build the wall. But continue, Colonel.
Give me some oakum. You know, when they talk about the wall and what they mean, nobody talks about oakum.
Well, you know,
that's surprising
really,
to no one.
It really is. It really solves a lot of problems. No matter what your problem is,
it does.
If it's sexual,
yeah,
you can use it. If there's breaches,
yeah,
in your walls or your property, you can use it.
If she's too wiggly, you can use it.
What in the hell
right
are you yammering about?
If you have to diarrhea,
oakum is a rope.
It's
like hemp. It is. It's
oh
good
my
for
god!
It. Yeah.
I mean,
it does all kinds of things. Now, Mulholland, being very, very rich, of course, they recommended he not be held criminally responsible, as they stated in the verdict. We, the jury, find no evidence of a criminal act or intent on the board of the. On the part of the Board of Waterworks and Supply of the city of Los Angeles or any engineer or employee in the construction or operation of the St. Francis Dam.
Sure, he did his best.
Because, yeah, it probably cost him $50,000 a juror.
Well,
but they said, oh, it wasn't his fault.
Money well spent, Brandy.
Yeah.
It was. But he did spend the next 7 years in seclusion until his death in 1935 at the age of 79 years old.
What a...
The colonel finds Mulholland a despicable character, Timmy.
Well, I am going to be a self-taught surgeon.
Brandy, your final thoughts on the St. Francis Dam disaster.
I just told you. I am going to be a self-taught surgeon. So,
you're on the lookout for that. Is a self-taught.
I will be taking
manager at
Stonehenge manager.
Because he said,
you know, according to Leanne, I could be.
Yeah,
I could be.
She's just humoring you.
She is human.
She's not.
Leanne is a very sweet girl who would not want to hurt your feelings,
burst your bubble. And, but you're not going to.
First of all,
right?
She was right
Leanne,
there when
Leanne
they
doesn't
actually
give a shit about my feelings.
With a British accent too, so I have to. Colonel, maybe you can say it. You know,
yeah.
Maybe you can describe to Brandy how they said it there in England.
Oh, bollocks. You could be the manager of Stonehenge.
Like,
that'd be a wee trite.
It's like that, but different.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You said it just
Colonel,
like
your
that.
Final thoughts.
You'll miss me.
St. Francis disaster.
Well, I think. You know, and, you know, as you and I have both become self-taught gynecologists.
I've been an amateur one.
Yeah. And not for the...
Are you just keeping your amateur status for the Olympics?
Yeah. Well, because as we know, Timmy is also...
We'll be an Olympic sport one day. You just wait.
It will be.
Then
I know him.
I did a podcast with him.
My question is, when cunnilingus becomes an Olympic sport, Timmy, are you still considered an amateur?
Has anybody actually
paid you for this?
Want to enter that sport.
He has only paid others.
Because, you know, there's people who dedicated their whole lives to that. And, you know, it's just like Mulholland. Some of us, you know, it just comes natural. So I would not want to, you know...
You're kind of like Robert Redford in The Natural.
Kind
of. It was just a gift that was bestowed
Timmy
upon you.
I would agree with that statement.
Brandy is nauseous.
Well, we would.
Well, let me tell you
go
what.
Ahead, Colonel.
Let me tell you what the Colonel thinks here. Now, the Lord created this earth, Timmy. And when man tries to intervene, the Lord is going to point down, like the levees in New Orleans. And say,
oh, my God.
The Titan.
Brandy
like
does not like this.
And say, no, that's not the way I meant for that water to run. Here's a smiting for you. Oh, New Orleans, you think you can stop all that water here? No, you can't. That's not the way I built this earth. Here's a smiting for you.
Colonel,
don't try to undo what the Lord has done.
Apparently.
Well, apparently, devil, you need to start living cleaner.
Ugh.
Start living cleaner. Go to church. I mean, just and tithe a little bit. Just tithe a little bit.
Brandy is not going to do that.
And Brandy's going to continue to stay ill.
Yeah.
We're trying to help you. We're trying to help you with your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being, your mental well-being.
Sexual life.
Yeah. Our listeners want to know.
Brandy's not going to do that either.
Timmy gets a lot of email about that.
No, Timmy does not.
The Colonel gets a lot of questions.
Let's thank those.
No, he does
us.
Not.
Let's thank those of you who support this podcast through your generous donations on Patreon.
For whatever reason.
If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little
bit,
Timmy. All right, we got Adam McWaters, Timmy, Elaine Baker, Alexandra, Allie, Alicia Mincy, the Already Gone Podcast, Timmy, Amanda Christine, Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville, Anna Gerlion. You know, she was talking about places to go on vacation. She did not mention Cincinnati, Timmy. Kind of hurt me. Andrew Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angela Santos, Angelo Villafane, Anna Garrett, Annette Petre, Anon, of course, Becky Traynor, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernard, Brittany Martin, Kelly Jones, me, Kelly Jones. Okay, Chrissy Lee and the Canadian True Crime Podcast, Timmy. Carl Asplund, Carol Elise, Charlie from Crime Lines, Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Christine Howell, Cindy. Of course, all our love goes out to Clark and Diane Trowbridge. It's a very tough time for them, so our thoughts are with you. The Comeback Podcast, Daniel Bassett, Diane Student, Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, who's all happy that her Chiefs are still in the playoffs. Jay Cleveland Payne, who's a Browns fan, so you know where he's at. Yahara Lopez, Jamie Dent, Iro, Jason Dykes, who wrote this wonderful script. Jeff and Don, and Jeff is making an active run for president in 2020. And so far, he's got my vote, Timmy.
Oh, your throat.
Because he's promising not to do anything.
Your support.
I was going to run on a platform of I will not fuck things up. But Jeff is running on a platform, a radical platform of he will not do anything.
I will vote for Jeff.
And I'm on board with
vote
that.
For Jeff.
Yes. So Jennifer Savoda, Jess Watford, Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Cam Barnes, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Kimberly Smith, Christine Malchinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Wasson-Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris, Marie, Marquia Smith, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Melissa Montoya, Michelle Johns, who, again, has very instructional posts on there that you might want to listen to, ladies. Paula Kimes, The Pleasing Tears Podcast, Robin Sherrard, Ron Montessario, Ruth Keith Whitfield, Sarah Bloom, who is damn near everybody's favorite, Charlene, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, Timmy, Stacy Alsop, Stephen Potts, who we hope stays safe down in the land down under, Terry Stratford, The Vanish Podcast, They Walk Among Us, of course, our friends Ben and Roseanne Fitton, Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane is in my ears, the wonderful Leanne Flanagan, my nemesis. I have to say she's wonderful because she's a Patreon sponsor, but, you know, she's my nemesis, too. Tracy Smith. Have we ever figured out what Leanne actually does to me?
Well, I know, but I can't say.
Beyond it, we know she's an international woman of mystery. Timmy can't count. Timmy would be killed if you revealed that information. Well, I don't want that. Jin Lee, Alan Cox,
and
welcome aboard, Alan. Whitney James. Yes. Of course, Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine. And Dottie been a little under the weather here recently. She healing up pretty well, Timmy.
Yes, she's doing better.
So the queen of the dweebs, the woman we do this show week after week for, Dottie Scott. Dottie, we had a high body count in this
240.
Pretty gruesomeness. Yeah, so this one should
tide her over.
Check off all the boxes for her. Yeah, so that is it for this week.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you again, Jason, for the great script. And we'll see y'all next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.